God's saying, come to me. I'm the one. I'm the one with the power. And as we read the text this morning, from my point of view, you'll see it fits into the message, okay? And the other thing, that's the second message I've had given to me this morning. One was privately, and it all works into what the Word of God is going to say today, okay? All right. Awesome. Okay, we have a few announcements, all right? First of all, if you're visiting with us, welcome to Mount Zion Christian Church, okay? And in front of you, in the back of the seats, are a connection card. You can fill that out when you leave this morning. There is a visitor's desk back there. Stop in at the Welcome Center, and we want to get to know you. We want you to be able to ask us questions and know about us, okay? So we're glad that you're here. I want to thank everybody for their tithes and offerings. We don't take that for granted. We don't pass a plate. There are slots at the entryway of the sanctuary, and your faithfulness to God allows this ministry to go forward, and we don't take it for granted. Weather permitting, Wednesday night, we're going to start class for adults again, okay? Come on, you got to love Wisconsin, can't you? Where can you get a 70-degree swing in 3 days? Come on. It's awesome here. Just love it. Kill all the bugs and then warm up. It's beautiful. So anyway, they start Wednesday night, 6:30. Next week, Sunday, February the 10th, we are going to have a barn dance. Turn to somebody and say, you can square dance. Go ahead. You can do this. So anyway, next week, after the second service, you go down there, we have live music, a live caller, and if you don't know what you're doing, somebody will either tell you or laugh at you, one or the other. It will be a wonderful time, okay? Married couples, listen up, married couples. We have I call them a task force, okay, here for mentoring marriages. And we were talking about what can we do to help married couples get together and have an affordable night out. So married couples night out, February 22nd, the week after Valentine's Day at the Ridge. We're all going to get together for a fish fry, okay? And I believe it's at 7 o'clock. Call the office if you're going to be at the fish fry, so we're ready for you, okay? Now, if you want to stay overnight, if you want to stay overnight at the Ridge, the rate is $49 for the night. Turn to somebody and say, that's a whole night out for under $100. Go ahead, tell them. How can you beat that, huh? So if you want to stay overnight at the Ridge, you have to call. You have to tell them you're from Mount Zion, and they'll give you that rate, okay? So just beware of that, and there we go. I have one more announcement. Last Saturday night, we had a congregational meeting. The plans for what we'd like to build are out in back. And at that meeting, everybody voted overwhelmingly to build and to go ahead with it, all right? But here are the facts. There were only about 25% of our body represented. And so I've been around long enough to know we want to know that everybody's behind it before we dive into something, okay? So if you have comments, talk to me, talk to Pastor Steve. We care about what you think, okay? And so speak to us. We're going to go ahead now, kind of like we're stepping on thin ice. We're going to get more, some better pricing and stuff like that and begin to move forward. But please speak to us, okay? And then we'll keep you updated on what's going on and what we need for it, okay? Boy, are you quiet when I made that announcement. All right, we are in Exodus chapter 16. Get into the Word of God. And I'm calling this the bread test, okay, for this morning. So Exodus chapter 16, I'm going to read the entire chapter. And I want you to notice how many times a certain word comes up. Is there anybody in here that grumbles? The word grumble comes up so many times in this text. And so I think everybody here can relate. And we're going to read through the text and walk through it. Okay, the whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If we only had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?" Moses also said, "You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses told Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, 'Come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, he looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in a cloud. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread, and then you will know that I am the Lord your God." That evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent." The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. When they measured it by omer, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. Then Moses said to them, "No one is to keep any of it until morning." However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell, so Moses was angry with them. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as they needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the sixth day, when they gathered twice as much, two omers for each person, and the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. He said to them, "This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be the day of Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left and keep it until morning." So they saved it until morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. "Eat it today," Moses said, "because today is the Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any." Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where they are on the seventh day. No one is to go out." So the people rested on the seventh day. The people of Israel called the bread manna. It was white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey. It makes me hungry right now. Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Take an omer of manna and keep it for the generations to come, so that they can see the bread I gave you to eat in the wilderness when I brought you out of Egypt. So Moses said to Aaron, take a jar and put an omer of manna in it, then place it before the Lord to be kept for generations to come. As the Lord commanded Moses, Aaron put manna with the tablets of the covenant law so that it might be preserved. The Israelites ate manna 40 years until they came to a land that was settled, and then they ate manna until they reached the border of Canaan. Father, come and give us insight from the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, teach us to pass the bread test in Jesus' name. Amen. The first point in your outline, God hears grumbling. I hear it all the time. Well, it doesn't do any good to complain. You know, it doesn't make any difference. But we still grumble. Why does it feel so good to grumble? I mean, it just makes me happy sometimes. I walk around grumbling. But God hears your grumbling. He heard Israel. He listened to them. Now, this next point, I want to teach this in Washington, okay? Are you ready? Grumbling against Moses and Aaron was the same as grumbling against God. My Bible says God puts leaders in place. He takes them out of place. What if our nation would understand this? What if they would stop grumbling and finding fault, and we wouldn't be a house divided and we'd all come together, church? Wow. Is it okay if we start here? Let's start here today and learn the lesson. Whether you like the leaders or you don't like them, we need to be praying for them, okay? But when they grumbled against Moses and Aaron, they were grumbling against God. It's very clear. It says it here in verse, it says it in here where Moses says, you're not grumbling against us. Who are we, he says. He says, you're grumbling against God, okay? Your next point, God tested Israel with simple instructions. Let me ask you a question. Anybody here confused about these instructions? Take what you need for today. Take an omer. He gave them the measure. He said, take this much bread for today. Is that hard to understand? But what do? Some of them didn't listen to Moses. They took extra. How would you like to wake up in the morning with maggots on the counter that smell? Very simple instructions. Just simple instructions. And he tested them. Look at your next point. The manna came with built-in disobedience detection. Isn't God creative? Come on, folks, just think about this for a minute. Okay, you know, we're going to drop manna down, but they can only take so much. What are we going to do? I know what we're going to do. If they keep some for tomorrow, it's going to get maggots in it and smell. Great idea, Lord. There's another awesome truth in this that we should all learn today. From Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23, all right? My wife used to quote this to our children all the time, okay? Here's what it is. But if you fail to do this, you will be sinning against the Lord, and you may be sure that your sin will find you out. Kids, how many times do we go, how in the world did mom and dad figure that out? God knows, doesn't he? Trying to hide sin. Have you ever tried to hold a beach ball under the water? Huh? It's like you can't take your eye off that thing because it'll pop out. You can't take your mind off it. You can't leave it alone. And when there's sin, it just keeps popping up, see? It's the word of God. This isn't my word. This is God's word. Be sure your sin will find you out. In the desert, the disobedience detection was there, okay? Now, what was the reason for all this, all right? Next point, the bread from heaven was a sign of God's presence. Please hear this, church. It was a sign of God's presence. Verse 6, In the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. You will know what it was, that it was the Lord, when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because you grumbled against him. You see, why are you doing this? So that they will know, God says, it was me that brought them out of Egypt. I'm the one that's going to take care of them. It was a sign of God's presence. Do you hear what it said? It said when Moses was speaking to the whole congregation, all the Israelites, over a million people, it says the glory of God appeared. See, don't forget, church, when they traveled in the desert, don't feel bad for them, like, oh, it was hot, you know, and they had to travel. The cloud covered them. Oh, it got cold at night and it was dark. There was a pillar of fire that led them. Did God miss something here? No, he didn't. He was taking care of them. It was a sign of his presence. Look at the next point. Israel had to depend upon God for daily bread. Now, here's the big question this morning. We have any self-sufficient people here? Huh? I can do it myself, can't you? Do we need him? What's the point? God says, depend on me for your daily bread. And the people in Israel that went out and gathered too much, I don't think they're any different than we are. We were like, hey, I'll just take twice as much and I want to come out tomorrow. And what if God doesn't show up? Ooh. Right? I mean, if God doesn't show up, I can do it, right? I got this. How's that working for you? It doesn't work. It says, depend on me. Just Friday, I was helping my oldest son. We were putting some garage doors in, and we had this lift because the ceilings are 20-some feet high. And I said, I'm getting old, and I don't want to climb that far on a ladder. So we have this lift, and the guy shows us, you plug it in here. Well, the first time we get on it and use it, battery's dead. We're like, what in the world's going on, see? And you mess around for an hour with it. We're wasting all kinds of time. And finally, I stood behind it, and I said, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lo and behold, I looked down there was another cord stuck in there. Pulled it out, plugged it in. We looked at each other like, yep, we should have prayed. Should have prayed before we started. We were so cool, man. We had this. But what's God trying to tell us? He says, depend on me for your daily bread. Come on, church. My Bible says if we put our hope in him, we won't be put to shame. Reverse that. Put your hope in you. What's going to happen? Put your hope in others. What's going to happen? He wants us to depend on him, all right? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 11. Jesus taught his disciples to pray for daily bread. Isn't that what he says? They said, hey, Lord, you know, the disciples, they were sharp enough. They said, when this guy prays, stuff happens. You know anybody like that? My kids call my wife up. Hun, Mom, would you please pray for us? She says, you pray yourself. No, Mom, when you pray, something happens. I could tell a story that would really get her in trouble right now. She prayed for snow. I was going, would you please stop? What can I say? But we need to go for him for our daily bread. When they said, teach us to pray, Lord, he said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. You know what's scary to me, church? How many grammar school children don't know that prayer right now? Who's going to teach them? Timothy. Think about it when VBS rolls around this year. Who's going to teach them? And it's time that we get back to it. So Jesus said, pray for your daily bread. We're going to go to the Gospel of John now, all right? Chapter 6. Here's your point. Jesus is the bread of life. You see, I love Scripture. And what was going on in Exodus is setting us up for the coming Messiah. It all fits together, church. And all you have to do is read through it and let the Holy Spirit speak to you, and you're going to see. And so we're going to come to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. I'm going to begin, all right, in the 30th verse, okay? And they come to Jesus, you see. So they asked him, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Now listen. Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Boy, Jesus didn't bring it up. They brought it up. They said, hey, now listen, you say you're the Son of God. What sign are you going to give us? And what are you going to show us? You see, it's like Jesus was shaking in his boots. Are you kidding me? Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Please notice something here, church. There's a switch going on here on the railroad tracks. He just changed you from temporal life here on earth, eating bread that kept him alive for 40 years, and he just switched it to eternal life. And their spiritual truth is beginning to come out. Is everybody tracking with me here? Don't miss it. Boy, he has their interest. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Turn to somebody and say, don't miss that. Anybody who comes to me, I will never drive away. I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. At this, the Jews there began to grumble. Sound familiar? Grumble about him because he said, I am the bread of life who came down from heaven. And they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? I don't miss this next line. I absolutely love it. Jesus says, stop grumbling among yourselves. Have you ever wanted to go to somebody and say, just stop it? Stop it, he says. Jesus answered, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Folks, don't miss it right now. Every carnal Jew was thinking about cannibalism. Are you listening? Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink the blood, you will have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them at the last day. For my flesh is real food. My blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware of that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "I got to stop here for a minute. Don't you love Jesus? When Jesus gets a nice fire going, you see, and it's cooking, and he's got everybody's attention, and the disciples are going, some people are leaving, Lord. Maybe you should shift down a gear and be quiet for a little while. You know, we're going to lose a whole bunch of people." And Jesus says, "Hey, Peter, give me a can of gas." You see this? When the fire's cooking, Jesus doesn't shut the fire down. He doesn't run for a fire extinguisher. He gets a can of gas and he throws it on the fire. And listen to what he says. "Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before?" He says, "You think it's something that I said I came from the Father and I'm the bread of life that came from heaven?" He said, "Guess what, fellas? I'm going right back the way I came." And I can see in the Acts of the Apostles when the disciples were standing there and Jesus was taken up into heaven to be seated at the right hand of God the Father after he rose from the dead to be in heaven. I love Jesus, man. When the truth is hard to take, he doesn't back off. He puts his foot on the gas. And church, we need to come to a place where we realize this. So the people were leaving. And you know what? There's so much confusion over this text in the body of Christ. It has split the body of Christ. And all they had to do was read one more verse. You notice the sequence here? People are already starting to leave. They're doing the, you know, they're sliding back, you know. And all they had to do is read. Listen to what Jesus says. "The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken." What words? "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, have no life in me." Those are the words. And what does he say? "They are full of the Spirit and life. And there are some of you who don't believe." Jesus wasn't talking about cannibalism. He was speaking a spiritual truth. And he switched from eating manna in the desert that kept you alive temporarily here on earth. And he went to eternal life. And he says, "If you feed on me," then he said, "you will have eternal life." Jesus is the bread of life. Now, as we get ready to come to the table, I just can't wait to tell you this. You remember what they said? God told Moses, he says, you tell Aaron now, you take some of that manna and you put it in a jar and you put it in the Ark of the Covenant and you preserve it so they'll always remember. They'll always remember that I fed them in the wilderness for 40 years. Don't let them forget. Do you understand what Jesus is saying here? He's saying, don't take it and put me in a jar. You put me in you. You are the living, walking tabernacle. You're the covenant. You're the Ark of the Covenant, a walking, talking Ark of the Covenant. And when you take the bread this morning and when you drink the cup this morning, you have Jesus living in you because you're saying, "I believe you are who you said you are, Jesus." On the night Jesus was betrayed, if we're ready for communion, the worship team. And on the night he was betrayed, he said, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. Take this, all of you, and drink it." Whenever you do this, he says, what does he say? He says, "Do it in remembrance of me." He says, "Put it in the jar. Put it in your tabernacle. Keep it forever. Don't ever forget what I've done for you. I'm the bread of life who came down from heaven." And he said, they all died in the desert, but if you eat this stuff, if you feed on me, you'll live forever. You have eternal life. If you're in here this morning and you don't know where you're going to be when you die, see, you can fool me by coming to church, but you can't fool God. God knows if you and him are okay together. If you're not okay, here's what you have to do to be all right. You don't have to chase God. He's here right now. You have to open your heart. And you have to say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God who died on the cross for me. I believe you rose from the dead. Lord Jesus, I want to open my heart and I want to ask you to come in. And Lord, I've sinned against you. Forgive me. You know what the Word of God says? The Word of God says when you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you. It says that the Spirit of God will come and take up residence inside of you. Now you can say, give me this day my daily bread, Lord. And he'll say, hey, that's my child. And I'm going to take care of him. I'm going to take care of her. Father, teach us today to pass the bread test. Teach us today, Lord, to ask you for our daily bread every day and to count on you and to rely on you. And then, Lord, use us, we pray in Jesus' name. Let's go to the table.
That lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could so great a mercy, what heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross is spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Bro.
Lord Jesus, we have a real piece of bread here to represent spiritually what's going on inside of us. And so, Lord, as we take this bread this morning, we are saying that you are the bread of life who came down from heaven. And that if we ingest you, we will have everlasting life. Lord Jesus, we remember you, we thank you, and we praise you for what you've done for us. Let's eat.
Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
In the morning.
Came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on. The promise, your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory.
Before we drink this, I want to encourage. I can't tell you how many times people say to me, that guy's never coming to Jesus. And that just gets me so excited because I realize I'm going to witness a miracle. And when we start to pray, We start to pray, and all of a sudden, it could be months, it could be a year, it could be 6 months, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, and all of a sudden you get that call that says, hey, so-and-so wants to talk to you, and I'm like, uh-huh. And I want to encourage you today, don't stop praying. Because these people are coming to Jesus. They're the only ones that don't know it yet. And I want to encourage you this morning to be praying. And as sure as Jesus shed his blood on the cross, there's salvation. And he loves them more than we love them. And so don't lose hope, all right? Don't lose hope. Lord Jesus, when we drink this cup, we're proclaiming that we trust you for the forgiveness of our sins, for eternal salvation for our souls. Lord Jesus, we praise you, we worship you, we thank you for what you've done, and we remember what you've done for us today. Let's drink. Lord, we pray for healing of the body. It says, by your stripes we're healed. But Lord, that's spiritually, mentally, physically. That, Lord, the bride of Christ would be whole. I ask you to come and touch our bodies, touch our minds. Give us the mind of Christ today. And Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on us so that, Lord, we can carry out. We can be empowered when we leave here and carry out your will. And that your kingdom would be added to, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you need time at the altar, there's time. If you need prayer, we want to pray for you. If not, go in peace to love and serve our God and enjoy this beautiful, balmy day.